Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, guys, we got our first guest stream of the offseason. We got Davis back from the mountains. Let's do this thing. All right, we're here to talk some rookies. It is combine week, but we got Davis. First of all, Davis, how you doing, man? It's been a while since we've chatted.
You know, I mean, we're doing good. Kansas City Chiefs, world champions. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles are still crying on Twitter. It is March. It is March, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and other Eagles players are still crying on social media. So that's funny. Bears fans are coping about, you know, trying to get T. Higgins and the Bengals front office yesterday's at the combine, and they're like, basically, keep your hands off of our guy.
Whoa, Chan.
Hilarious.
Chauncey Gardner sent me this about the Chiefs, by the way. Just had to highlight that. No, I'm just kidding.
Wonder if they put the asterisk on the trophy.
Yeah. Well, hey, happy for you. Happy you could watch that happen. What was that experience like for you?
I thought they were fucked, honestly. So they go into halftime trailing. I don't remember if it was at the end of the second quarter or the beginning of the third quarter when Mahomes got his ankle rolled up on. And I was just like, oh, this is like, I don't need to see Chad Henne warming up right now. I also had some.
You're talking about the Jags game right now?
No. He got rolled up on in the Eagles game and limped off, but it was a third down, so he didn't have to play with it at all. Mm-hmm. It was right before half. But also, I had two teams that were pretty live that had a full five guys on Underdog. And the issue was Marquez Valdes-Scantling was one of the guys, and Devonta Smith was one of the guys. And MVS did not record a statistic. And Devonta had, 4 for 60 in the end?
Also, if you didn't have Hurts, you just were not winning.
Yeah, if you didn't have Hurts, you didn't win. I had one Hurts. I had one Mahomes that was through to the final. So I was sweating that a little bit. But MVS 0 just made it impossible. And McKinnon, I had a 220-1 same game parlay. I drove out to Illinois to go fire some bets.
Oh, no. The McKinnon slide down?
It was, I think it was 13 legs, and McKinnon anytime touchdown was on there, and he slid at the one, and I was like, oh man, that's brutal.
One of my friends made a suggestion, something like, basically, like, you have the ability. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, in the Eagles situation, like, you can just like give up the touchdown or something, like. If you commit a defensive penalty or something, how do we feel about it? Like, I'm okay with teams sliding down and ending it because it's like, look, you had the whole game. But how do we feel about, should there be some way to, like, in the Eagles situation there? I mean, everyone wanted to see the ball back in the Eagles' hand. Obviously, McKinnon.
You're saying basically the Eagle, like, Nick Sirianni can go to the ref and say, just give them 7 points and we
get
the ball
something
back.
Like that.
No, that's not how football.
Or like, you know, because if you, if you commit multiple offsides penalties, right? Like if you're
the
just
clock
like,
stops,
the clock stops, but also like I believe they can just award points. So like, what are they going to do if you just line up on the ball?
Is that, I didn't know that rule. Is that true?
The refs have the ability to just be like, I think they have the ability to be like, that's unsportsmanlike. Like we're awarding, you know, because otherwise like what's stopping you in kneel down situations of just like always launching and just trying to like get that millionth time, you know, that like one in a million
sure.
time where you like snatch the ball.
Snatch the ball. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's true. I mean, I think it's just kind of one of those things where you have to accept that no game is perfect, right? You know this, you play games your whole life. There are very few solved games. And when you put more variables, think of how many variables there are in not even a football game, a football play. You can't solve for all these variables.
Even chess has luck. And one thing that's confirmed for me is I played rugby in college and I always thought like if a bad NFL team at the beginning of the year was like, hey, we're going to go with the rugby playbook, because the thing in rugby that you can't do is you're not allowed to block. So basically like blocking in rugby would be like a cheat play. So, you know, like if a bad NFL team was like, hey, we're going to like play a normal offense, but that like basically we throw it down and run rugby plays, I think it would work. But what's been confirmed to me is the NFL would not allow that. Because we're already trying to outlaw the rugby play that the Eagles did in the Super Bowl with the converting.
That's going to be outlawed. Not even tried. That there's
it's,
no
it's going
chance.
To be. And what that tells me is the NFL, the powers that be have decided that that's not good for the NFL. So if an NFL team, like I legitimately think this would work a lot. Like you just run it down the field and then you run like sweeps around and you block the defensive backs and you just play like 5-on-5 rugby down the field.
Yeah, but that's very hard to accomplish on an NFL field.
I don't think it is as hard as you think. I think it's that they would be like, no, you cannot.
You have to. So, well, there's also an eligible man down the field as a thing. Like that's already kind of legislated out. Like offensive linemen are not allowed to be that far.
Okay. So like you change your wide receiver core to like five tight ends, right? Like, or big tackles or whatever. And you just play you get them in the hands.
And so your go-to third and eight play is we're running a tight end crosser where our one wide receiver is getting, you know, Blake Bell, Noah Gray, and Jody Fortson are all blocking for Mecole Hardman 7 yards from the line of scrimmage.
No, it's like the first guy catches it, and I could draw this on paint. And then like one guy runs an end around down the field and the other guys block. And then you just kind of like pitch the ball to the end around guy. Like that would score every time.
So I think the reason why that wouldn't work compared to rugby, and I don't know the rules of rugby that well, but I think the penalty for losing the ball in football is too great, right?
If you're a good team, I agree. But like, if you're like, let's take a team this year. I don't know who, like if you're the Bears or if you're the Texans, what do you have to fucking lose? And I guarantee you it would catch people by.
So I think this to me is sort of similar to the people say like, oh, you know, why don't NFL teams run the triple option? It works all the time. Georgia Tech beats all these, you know, these teams can punch way above their weight. It's guys in the NFL are too good. They're too fast. They're too strong. You think you're going to be able to run an end around 30 yards from the play. Teams fuck up end arounds when they practice it, when they prepare for it. I think this is like the Wildcat is going to work once so well that no one's going to stop you. It's going to work so good. And then once teams get a week or two to think about it, you're not going to be able to advance the ball at all.
I just don't think, because the thing in rugby too, is when you play defense, you play man, like you have one fullback back there and everyone else is a man. And it's like, don't let anyone get through the line, right? It's like, take care of your man. Don't let them get through our line. That's not how the NFL plays defense. The NFL's got people in back. So they naturally give you the space. The only big difference is a rugby field is wider, so you have more side to side. But you know, like if seven dudes are going to be up at the line of scrimmage,
you can't have seven dudes.
No, if seven dudes on the defense are going to be in the box, and then you're just having five, you're having like
five. How are you getting the ball to the ball carrier?
You have to complete a pass. You have to complete a pass down the field, and then you enact your rugby play.
I just, you are thinking football is easier than it is.
I don't know, dude. I think
the Chiefs. The Chiefs have run that hook and ladder play where Travis Kelce does the lateral. They've run it twice. It is a guaranteed minimum 30 yards. They've run it twice. Actually, I remember the two plays. One.
But do you think they designed that, or do you think Kelce was like, "Fuck it, I'm doing it"?
100%, 100%. They designed it because it was against the Detroit Lions in 2019. Travis Kelce catches it, laterals it to LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy runs in for a touchdown. AFC Conference Championship. Kelce has a bad back, so I think Andy Reid was like, "Okay, we need to design on some of these Kelce plays. We need to design leverage for him, a way to not twist his back around." And he pitched it to. Shit, I don't remember who he pitched it. I think Juju.
Whatever. I think my point stands that we can debate whether it would or wouldn't work. I think it would. But if it did work, I'm very confident that the NFL would just be like, you're not doing that anymore, right? Because we're literally seeing it. With one team did one rugby-type play effectively, which is the same thing as like a mall in rugby where you just like push the guys forward.
How do you legislate that out, though? No blocking down the field?
What? How do you?
How are you legislating against this play?
No, I think the owners would get together and you'd tell the one owner and be like, "Look, dude, you are ruining. Like, we are an entertainment league. This is not what people want to watch. You are not going to own this team anymore."
I think you are wrong. I think this is a thing.
What do you guys think in the chat? Let us know. Rugby.
Here, let me tweet this.
Let me draw some plays too. I'll draw on a Microsoft Paint for us. But
I in my head, I see how it works. You complete a 10-yard pass. Mecole Hardman is behind three tight ends who are all blocking. Then Marcus Kemp is running around and he pitches the ball to Marcus Kemp, and Marcus Kemp is home free.
Guys, we are gonna talk rookies here, but real quick. We'll just call like this the line of scrimmage here, right? You got seven dudes up front. Is this shit showing up for you? No.
Liam, I'm telling you, it's okay. Not going to work. Because why would a team not have already tried this? There are rugby players in the NFL. There are guys who are familiar with rugby.
Because I'm telling you, I think it's bad for viewership because they're like, we're football, we're not.
No, that would not stop Kyle Shanahan from doing this once if he thought he was guaranteed.
So this is seven dudes in the box, four DBs, whatever. Are you seeing all these circles I'm drawing or not?
It's on a big delay.
It's on a big delay. Okay. Well then we'll exit it. Anyway, okay, here we go. Anyways, so like you got your dudes on the line. You got five guys on line. You got the QB, and then you line up like how many we got there. And then you know like let's say this guy goes here, and he catches the ball. And then these two dudes' job is just to like be right with him and block down. And one of these guys' job, who's like they're running across, is have just you, like running.
Liam,
and end
how close have you been to a live NFL game? Have you like seen how fast these guys are?
Yeah, I've been to an NFL game.
Like my guess,
but like that argument falls so flat to me that like rugby won't work because the dudes are faster. That's not true.
I guarantee, like the worst linebacker in the NFL would be like the best whatever position there is in Aussie rules football.
That's like way too nationalist to me. I think it's just that people in Australia, people in Europe, they don't grow up with the NFL.
That's the free market economy. If those guys were, if they were,
no,
that
they
good,
don't play it. So like they're at a big disadvantage by the time, like definitely some of these freak athletes on like the All Blacks of New Zealand could definitely be in the NFL if they grew up from the age of five.
Well, why, if they could, why wouldn't they? They make way more money.
Because it's not part of their fucking country. It's like the goal is like rugby is what they watch.
But there's been rugby players who have transitioned to
very late
the NFL.
And they're very behind the eight ball. They don't have like the football IQ. That's part of the game. Like it's not so easy, especially some of these skill positions, just be like, go do it. Yeah, it would take a lot of practice, and I think it would get shut down in training camp. Anyways, guys,
we're what? Roger Goodell has like Pinkerton agents in training camps being like, "You cut that shit out right now."
I think there's no doubt if a team was doing this in training camp, the owners would be like, "Do we want this to like?"
You think owners are watching practices, Liam? The team owner probably isn't even there. He has
someone
no
would get work. Like it would be reported, like, the Washington Commanders are doing nothing but rugby plays down the field.
If you did nothing but rugby plays, you would lose every game by 10 points.
Don't agree. Because, I mean, obviously you'd be like a Smash Mouth run team that also does these like...
But if you're the Smash Mouth run team, you're going to start every game down a touchdown.
No, but the point is you want to suck defenders into the box, right? So then you can play your rugby plays.
But that's the whole argument that you have to run to set up the pass, which all the data says is
no, it's not that. It's not that. It's then to play these rugby weird plays. I think it would work.
I know you think it would work, but I'm going to guess there's a reason it hasn't ever been tried.
If anyone from the NFL is listening, which I assume one of my 1,400.
Do you want me to text Patrick Laird right now and ask him if he thinks it would work?
Yes. And if he says no, then tell him that he's a player, not a coach. No, I'm kidding. Anyways, guys, we're here to talk some rookies today. Smash that subscribe button if you also appreciate weird tangents. And let us know in the comments, what do you think about the rugby plays? Nick knows this. Roger Goodell currently has this stream tapped after hearing Liam introduce the skeleton key to the NFL's downfall. So Davis, let's talk rookies, man. What is your process like for rookies? How plugged in do you feel at this point in the season? For those who don't know, the combine is happening this week. Starting tomorrow will be D linemen and linebackers, defensive backs Friday. Saturday is the big one, QBs, wideouts, tight ends, and Sunday is running backs and O-linemen. Anyways, Davis, what type of rookie person are you? I know you're someone who's like in a bunch of dynasty leagues. Are you someone who has like a spreadsheet over the years and you have some like formula? Are you someone who watches a lot of like college football and that is part of your equation? Talk us through how you evaluate rookies.
Well, I used to have to do all this stuff myself, right? You used to have to keep it all, you put it all in a spreadsheet yourself or copy and paste it from someone else who took the numbers and do formulas and everything. But now everyone's got a model and it's all basically measuring the same stuff. At the end of the day, it's all really a measurement of how well does your body move at the size that you are for the position that you play and what are the thresholds that you sort of have to have at your position. So like for wide receiver, it's kind of changed actually. Like, you know, when I first started doing this to now, you actually kind of want to be smaller, but faster. Like back in the day, it used to be, you want to be 215 pounds. You want to run a 4.4. You want to be taller than 6'1". Now it's sort of like, well, you kind of want to be, you don't really want to be that big because you're not going to be able to play in the slot, and playing in the slot is where, you know, that's where all the good shit happens. Now you get three free catches a game playing in the slot versus playing on the outside, and your ADOT's going to be lower. And the average depth of target in the NFL this last year was the lowest it's been in 11 years. So the game is sort of changing in that way. But basically,
that's a byproduct of O-line quality too.
I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think the two-eye safety stuff is a huge part of that.
For sure.
Like the Chiefs and the Bills and the Bengals played way differently this year than even 2 years ago, and I kind of think of those three teams as the best passing offenses. But basically, the combine is really important to me.
Yeah,
and lots of other people will say it's not. I mean, the primary thing is NFL teams for sure care about the combine, so it really drives draft position. Now, draft position is like if you look at every variable and you try to correlate it to like future fantasy points, draft position is going to be far and away the most important. I think there's a little bit more nuance than that. Like I'm not just ranking guys straight based off of, draft equity or whatever, but that is a huge part of it.
Every year we see like Tyquan Thornton and like shocks like that who are like,
Tyquan Thornton was like going to be an undrafted free agent and then ran a 4.29 and was a second rounder.
Top of the second round too.
Yes. That is super common. And I mean, look, that's kind of the way I would draft because you can, In my mind, you can always kind of teach a guy to be better at his position, right? You can kind of, there's can't a teach nuance.
Speed, baby.
You simply can't, you can't teach speed and you can't teach size. I think that's a huge thing too, is you can't. And this is probably, I would say this is the most interesting the size thing is ever going to be in the first round, because Bryce Young is probably going to be like 5'9", 180 pounds. And that is small. Like you think, okay, think Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is short, but I don't think you would call Russell Wilson small. He's got big legs.
That's sturdy, though. He's 180 at that size?
Dude, like I could get to 180 in a week if I got some thin mints. You know, it's not big.
Yeah. So his Google weight is 6'1", 194, but we're calling
Bullshit. Like literally, I mean, I would, if you got that dude, like if we got to, you know, I don't know. Obviously, Bryce Young has spent the last 2 months probably doing nothing but fucking eating and lifting weights, because he knows that if he weighs 180 pounds, it's like going to cost him generational wealth. So I would guess he's going to be a minimum of 190 when he weighs. And he could get up to 200.
He'll stick quarters in his pockets, the old school.
I mean, he is like, it's like, this is the same thing with like the Texas A&M running back, Devin Achane. It's like this guy's entire life, this is like one of the biggest days of his life, and he's going to be doing everything he can to get to where he needs to be, but he can't make himself taller. And he just looks really, really small. That's really, it's just, he looks so small. And I think for, because I'm in all these super flex leagues, and generally speaking, the move is, when in doubt, you just take a quarterback, right? Like, oh, the receivers or whatever, I'm taking a quarterback. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, kind of small, taking a quarterback. You know, whatever. But I don't know if Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, in the current environment of NFL quarterbacks, I don't think Bryce is going to run at all in the NFL. At least designed. I think it'll be a lot of
scrambling. And it's like a big mistake if you hit like a Kenny Pickett over like a Chris Olave or someone like that.
Which I think you can always defend at the time by saying like, how bad can it be? Like, I think right now you could probably get into this first round of drafts with Kenny Pickett. I think you could trade Kenny Pickett for like the 110 or something. But missing on Olave, missing on Drake London, missing on Traylon Burks, that stinks, right?
Missing on Kenneth Walker. If he gets the QB upgrade, like, he's going to smash. Let's try to primarily keep it to best ball, something that you can win real money in and not these like $50 dynasty leagues.
Oh, no, joking. There's just nothing better than a $50 dynasty league.
Real quick, I wanted to say about what you were saying is, when I was a senior in college, I thought I was going to do like analytics for an NFL team. And for my economic senior research paper, I tried to predict the success of wide receivers in the NFL. And so I did a metric where I converted, I found some paper that converted touchdowns to yards. And so like yards was my Y variable. And then I ran a regression analysis and I put in their college stats. I put in their combine stats, and I need to find that research paper I wrote. But from memory, like if we did a bootstrap variable that like assumed players played 3 years in the NFL, because there's just so many players that flame out, so you need to assume that they play in the NFL. The R squared was something like 0.7 or something, which is like pretty decent, with like pretty much just three cone drill and something else, which kind of makes sense. Like three cone drill, we would think correlates to route running in the NFL, which is one of the most important traits of a wide receiver. And the other thing that stuck out from that is Antonio Brown had like the worst broad jump in the database.
I mean, I guess that sort of makes sense. That was never really, he wasn't jumping around a lot. It was all maybe short, he
slipped like the DK Metcalf. People theorize he slipped on like his three cone drill, right?
Well, yeah, but slipping on your three cone drill is bad.
It's bad, but the point is, like, if you only get one or two clocks at it, and it's like, all right, the dude either doesn't care or slipped, like, how, you know, maybe that data wasn't that legit. Anyways, I think something that would be good here is maybe you could walk us through how it stands today for you. Obviously, the combine hasn't happened. your top five at each position, and then maybe some dark horse players that not a lot of people are talking about, or some players you are most want to see how they perform in the combine to see what you think about them.
Well, quarterback for rookie stats, you're going to go Stroud 1, Young 2, Richardson 3, Levis 4, and then I don't think any of these other rookies will get a start. Maybe like Tanner McKee or something. But I think
Richardson is a guy I'm hearing a lot of buzz about now. What do we think about that?
Yeah, it's just like Anthony Richardson. If Anthony Richardson gets taken by a team that, I mean, Anthony Richardson is just going to be the same thing as Trey Lance, right? It's all tools. It's all, he could be this because he's good at this. But
care about for fantasy though. Here, let me share.
Yeah, he runs like a crazy person.
Let's get a little Google Doc going so that the visual learners can follow along. So Davis's ranks pre-combine.
This would be for 2023 fantasy football. This fantasy wouldn't even be for Dynasty.
Ranks pre-combine. No, we're calling it best ball. Do best ball ranks, not Dynasty. Same thing if you're only talking about 2023 performance.
Yes. Laird texted me back, so he's at least interested.
I'll have to be introduced and talk about him. So, okay, you had Stroud 1.
Then right? Young.
And why just do you have Stroud over time. Young?
Because I think Stroud is going to run a little bit more.
Okay. And my take is that if Young is a legit quarterback, I think the Lions are a dark horse to go for him.
Yeah, Lions and Seahawks both need a quarterback. Which well, a lot Lions, of people are not.
Yeah, but the Lions would be like a holy shit wheels up if like he's got Jameson Williams, he's got, you know, he's got Amon-Ra. All right, who's your three? Levi?
Richardson. And then Levis. And then I wouldn't take any other rookie in this class.
Any ideal landing spots for any of these guys? Quarterback I care least about, honestly.
I mean, I think what you would really want is you would just want Richardson to go somewhere that just doesn't care and would play him. Like if Richardson goes to the Seahawks, he probably doesn't play as a rookie, right? They probably just re-sign Geno, play him for a year and wait for Richardson to play next year. But if Richardson goes to the Texans, what's the Texans plan? You know, the Texans are going to start, like there's no reason for Davis Mills to be playing. But I think, I mean, to me, I think the Seahawks and the Lions are the two best spots for any of these guys because they have good infrastructure in place. And it's weird, like weird circumstances happened, allowing rosters to be as good as those rosters are, picking where they're picking. Whereas the Colts, the Texans, and the Jets, well, I guess the Jets are probably going to have a vet, but it's like mostly bad teams that are going to be getting these guys, you know?
That makes sense. And that, what is the risk that Richardson is someone like a
Malik Willis?
Yes.
I would say the drumbeat for Willis was
because you and me were like, I remember the end of draft season last year, we're like, Malik Willis, and then we saw Malik Willis and we're like, oh no.
I mean, Malik Willis played at fucking Liberty. It's a lot different than playing at the University of Florida, right? Levels,
hey man,
competition.
Tebow did it.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Malik Willis was not particularly that good throwing the ball at Liberty and took a shit ton of sacks and stuff like that. Now, am I 100% out on Willis? Do I think Willis is dead? Do I think Willis will never get there in the NFL? Like, I don't know.
I'm not 100%, but it looked real bad, right?
It looked real bad. I mean, the bringing in Josh Dobbs for his first start since Josh Dobbs started a game for Tennessee in 2016, like it's not good, but he's just so athletic that I want to think there's something that could be done with him in the NFL, you know? But I think Richardson's a lot better than that. Richardson is going to go in the first round. I think there's very little chance that we are getting all this smoke on Richardson, right? There's a lot of smoke. I mean, we're now getting the, you know, mock draft. Oh my God, a mock draft from CBS came out and Richardson's going number one. Like, I don't think any of that stuff was happening for Willis to my memory.
That makes sense. I mean, I think it's a good year to not need a quarterback if all these like fringe QBs are going to be going around round one or so, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just really hard to draft quarterbacks right now because everyone's so hungry for quarterbacks, and probably 50% of the teams in the NFL are going to have a different quarterback in 2023 than they had in 2022.
Yeah. I mean, Carson Wentz probably going to go back up Mahomes or someone like that.
I think Arizona makes the most sense because they're going to need a starter for the first month or so of the season. And you could sell yourself on, oh, you know, Wentz is kind of mobile. He kind of moves around, you know, whatever.
David Blau show, not for you?
No, no. David Blau, Colt McCoy, not making it into the optimals.
All right. And so if you had to put a number on some like point per game performances, let's just do Stroud.
None of these guys are better than 18 points a game, I don't think.
Okay. So like, that's, yeah, that's,
I think that even seems pretty high. Like, I think these guys are, unless something crazy happens, these guys all seem like Derek Carr, Kenny Pickett style. Like, they might have a couple spike weeks. But again, if I knew that all four of these guys were starting 17 games, I would put Richardson first, just because I think no team would start Richardson under the idea that they want him to throw 40 times. He would be in there sort of like Malik Willis, but I think he's better, right? So like, Malik Willis came in, they didn't have him throw at all. It was mostly running, and Willis did look good as a runner. But I think Richardson's even better than he.
Yeah.
Was.
And I think he, like, Willis landed with like the worst team where it's like, they just want it to be Derrick Henry. And if that wasn't the case and they were like trying to run a modern offense and Malik was just like running a bunch, that would have been better for his fantasy, I think.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to running back. So number one, I think, is obvious, Bijan, and he's a generational type. How does he land for you in the
generation? Yeah, I mean, he's Saquon, he's Zeke, he's unbelievable. I think he's going to be a first round pick. Is he a first round pick right now in the big board?
Yes.
Yeah, I did one draft on the FFPC. We do it every year. Like, we do like the first one that they open up, and I took him at 10, and I think that seems pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely not a guy I want to fade low. And what's an ideal landing spot to you? For me,
Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but that requires them to like move on from Swift. I don't want it to be Swift.
They don't fucking like him, dude. If they liked Swift, they would play him more. He is, DeAndre Swift is the exact opposite of a Dan Campbell style player. He's hurt all the time. He doesn't want to run inside the tackles, right? Whereas like, we saw it by the end, they were just like, shit, let's play Justin Jackson. Let's play, you know, let's give Jamal Williams the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL, because like, Swift was not on the injury report. He was practicing in full at the end. Like, he did get hurt. That's it. They don't like him.
I agree. A team like Detroit, like a team like the Cowboys, if they are going to feature him,
that's very real. Like, them cutting Zeke and letting Pollard walk is very real.
Yeah. I think a bad landing spot, I've seen him mock to the Bills a little bit. I just think him and Josh Allen would cannibalize each other. Him going
how
to
mad
Bills
how mad
different.
Would you how mad would you be if that's what they did with that pick?
Not really that mad if they like traded back. What I want them to do is just like build up the O-line and get an elite O-line and then some more pass catchers. But
are you tilted that they seem to be happy with Gabe Davis as the second wide receiver?
No. And I wouldn't trust a single word any coach is saying. Like, I've said this like,
I mean that's fair. Everyone's lying right now.
Yeah, like I think Shakir looked good, and it's just more concerning they didn't play him. Like, I think that's just like a coaching staff snafu. I think they had like a Josh Downs type, a Jackson Smith type to be like a slot. I think the wide receiver coach they hired is more of like a alpha slot type offense. I wouldn't hate for them to get
Jalen Hyatt. He's gonna be way gone. He's gonna be way gone.
But I wouldn't hate for them to trade up, get Hyatt, move Diggs in the slot, have him be like the cup of the offense, and just Davis and Hyatt on the outside. Something like that. But
yeah, they're not getting Hyatt or Smith and Jigba.
basically what the Bills have done, if they've been like, okay, Josh Allen's mobile, like we don't need to invest in the O-line that much. And like, just give him a elite O-line, you know, because the guy wants to throw the ball down the field, and the power O with a good O-line and Josh Allen would be like, it would destroy. And enough of this investing in defense. That's what I do not want to see. And they let go.
It's just like, imagine investing in defense and then you can't fucking sack Joe Burrow with three backup offenses.
They had a lot of injuries, but yeah, I mean, no, and Leslie Frazier.
When you have Josh Allen, you don't build the defense. You don't spend money on the defense.
And that's the concern of a defensive-minded coach. Like, because I truly think that's like McDermott's philosophy. And so like, if he's not going to get...
What's his deal? Where did he come? Where did he coach before?
The Panthers. And so like, yeah. There's like
and
infinite
that fourth and two connection. That fourth and two punt, was that like the most mad you've ever been at the Bills in your lifetime?
With in the Bengals game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, the fuck are we doing? Like that the weird thing is like he is like the Bills have made, if you like look at the whole year,
they're
make
super
like
aggressive.
Very good fourth down decisions, except for like two moments in big games. And it's like, all right. Ultimately, I don't think that, you know, and also like the DeMar Hamlin thing, I truly believe has an impact on those players. Like, can you imagine? Like, I think that's just hard to shake off. You know, like,
I 100% agree. If I watch my coworker and I thought my coworker died doing our job, I don't know how I would be able to like behave normally.
Yeah, I truly think like, you know, people wanted to pretend that was going to be like some storybook shit, but I think that had way more negative impact than we would know from the outside.
I agree.
Anyways, moving on to running back. The number two in the class, I think, is pretty established. Remind me his name.
Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama.
And I've heard he's kind of like a Breece Hall type prospect. Does that land for you or no?
No, I would say he's more like a Cam Akers style guy. He just is going to, he's going to catch. That's the thing with him is like you're
he catches more than a Breece, right?
Yeah, your biggest concern with running backs now when they come in is are they going to get pigeonholed as an early down guy? And he caught a shit ton of passes. He's like good size, did really well, did really well in big games. That's something I like to look for a lot, is how guys do in games that were important to their college teams. So like, how are you doing in national championships, conference championships, rivalry games, which like seems like it would be non-predictive. But what you'll notice is college football is so unequal that for a lot of these guys who are going to five-star first round draft pick production factories, you go to Alabama, you go to Georgia, you go to Oklahoma, you go to Texas. Well, I guess not. Texas theoretically should be, but they always stink. Is so many of the games you play are going to be non-competitive. So like what happens when you play against other NFL players? You know, I think that's something to look at. And Gibbs would do well. Gibbs does well in all those games, right? He would be so good in all the big games that Alabama played because he is so good at catching the ball.
So he's kind of like a Swift type, but more of a PPR.
Kamara is the comp that everyone makes. Running back comps are hard.
Kamara Light, are we going to call him? Or
sure. I mean, I would say Akers just feels more rational because that was the thesis with Akers, was that he was going to catch passes, but he just got hurt so much. It was hard. I mean, like,
and that depends on what team you land with. Like, some coaches are just not going to throw, or quarterbacks.
Or if he gets selected by a team that does throw the running back, but plays two of them and says, this is your role. That's Jamal Williams' role. Right. And then it kills his TD equity.
Yeah. All right. Three through five, I think, is way more of a toss up.
Could be anybody. I mean, literally could be any of these guys.
How are you leaning so far?
So I really like Zach Evans. He is like good size, caught 30 passes. Like he's like pretty fast.
Does he profile as like a two down guy, more of a third down guy?
Well, the thing about him is that he got hurt a lot, so it's just kind of hard to tell like what, because a lot of what we do is we do like sims. So you put in their size, their speed, their expected speed and stuff. You could do this over at RotoViz. And I mean, Evans just, you know, he was not able to rack up that many touches. So it's kind of hard to generate good comps for him. Like he only played 15 games his first two seasons, final season, and he transferred from TCU as well. That's another. Oh, I should have mentioned this at the beginning. So this draft class is so fucking weird because of COVID stuff. Like guys who had extra eligibility, guys who only played four games, guys who transferred. Like 5 years ago, none of this stuff was happening. No one was transferring. No one was going to school for 4 years. But like, and that's kind of a big thing with wide receivers is if they stay for a fourth year, if you look at all the big busts, you know, look at your Denzel Mimses, your John Baldwins, you know, you look at all these busts, it's all guys who stayed to school to their fourth year, dominated their fourth year at like 22 years old, and then get drafted in the first round. And you're like, wait, it was probably bad that they went back for the fourth year, but it's kind of hard to penalize guys for that because, oh, I chose to go
to the end, Preston.
Yeah. Like, oh, I chose to go to a non-Power 5 school because I was going to start as a freshman, but my school didn't have any budget, and we played four games, right? We played four games my freshman year. And then also in the middle of this, the rules changed for transferring. So like maybe you're a good wide receiver, but Jordan Addison just transferred to USC, so you don't get to play, you know, or it's college football is so weird right now. So I'm not penalizing.
COVID lag is going to be here for a couple years and then it will normalize.
But even the transfers and the NIL stuff make it weird too, because maybe a guy's a great prospect, but he's maybe not a first round prospect. And the University of Southern California says, hey, dude, you're pretty good. We'll give you $8 million to stay for one more year. That's more than you make your first season in the NFL.
That's going to be a lag thing, too. All right, so what's your biggest questions with Zach Combine? Any questions, like just speed or what?
Well, so he was such a good speed guy, but he played his final season, you know, for Ole Miss, which is like a not very good college team, right? So if he runs, the thing that flashes on tape for him is that he was really fast, but he runs a 4.53, I think he's probably going to be a day three pick, you know? So he's really got to have good speed.
All right. 4 and 5, like some names I've heard thrown about, Zach Charbonnet. I've seen,
he seems more like a grinder to me.
Sean Tucker. I've seen
Tank Bigsby.
Tank Bigsby is a guy late in the, I mean, NFL name, no doubt, Tank Bigsby.
Well, he caught 62 passes. So that's the other thing is, you know, some of these teams.
He's your four in the class?
Well, Auburn, you know, they run the ball. They run the ball so much. So it's like you're not going to get the same crazy raw numbers because they have multiple guys in there. Like they had. So Bigsby ran the ball this most recent season. Bigsby ran the ball 179 times. The quarterback ran the ball 153 times. The backup running back ran the ball 104 times. Now Bigsby led the team in receiving. That's pretty big. But again, these are like bad. These are bad teams. These are
team that didn't have a winning record. Types that were just like misused or their team sucked or something.
The guy who I want to have the sickest combine, the guy I'm most personally excited about is Deuce Vaughn from Kansas State. If you didn't know anything about him and all you got to see was his Sports Reference page of catching a bunch of touchdowns, you know, I think he caught 89 passes his three seasons. He had 1,000 yards as an 18-year-old in the Big 12. He had 150 yards and a touchdown against Alabama. Like it's like everything looks amazing, and you're like, this is actually true. More touches, more yards, more touchdowns in the same amount of games in the same conference as Bijan Robinson, who is going to be probably a first round pick.
So what's the question with him? Is it weight? Is it speed?
Guess how much he weighs?
175.
I think 175 might be big. It might be 175. 175 might be on the higher end. If he's basically Jesus 2-2
Atwell. He's going to be arm tackled by D linemen left and right. If he gets
But he fucking played against Alabama. It's not like he hasn't played. But my concern would be this dude could be Jamal Charles. This guy could be Darren Sproles. Whatever. I don't think any NFL team will give him enough touches to be super fantasy relevant. My guess would be
he's like a ceiling Theoretic, maybe.
I think the comp I had in my head was like, he's going to be so annoying for fantasy, just like Nyheim Hines, where every time he gets the ball, you're like, why doesn't he get the ball more? Look, guy looks great. He should return punts. He should be getting end arounds. And then he gets de-cleated, you know, once, and you never see him again, basically.
Yeah. Well, he'll be, I mean, with today's NFL, you need speed, right? Like, the good teams we see are getting speed.
And you need running backs who catch passes.
Yeah. So he's a pass catching type, but just small. Do you want to put gun to head here and give us a 4 and 5?
Yeah, I will go. I will go Charbonnet and
Is it Zach Charbonnet, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because I think
my spelling is not official here. And what are
I think you
that?
Got it. Actually, I think it's only one R. But I think Ashane is his. He was like a track guy at Texas A&M as well. 4-star recruit. Really well.
Real quick with Charbonnet, is he a 2-down grinder type?
I mean, he did catch passes. I would actually say he's like Zach Mossy.
Jesus Christ, that's not a good comp.
Zach Moss was a good. People were excited about Zach Moss.
No, they were very excited about it. But that was back when people thought the Bills were going to be like a run first type team.
Yeah.
Zach Mossy. Yikes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Le'Veon Bell if you want to be bullish, right? Because Le'Veon Bell was kind of big, you know, not super fast.
Yeah, give us some ceiling comps. We like the ceiling comps.
I mean, he was really good at UCLA, right? He had 93% of their rushing touchdowns, 12% of their receiving yards, and was a first team All American. Like, he's really good. It's just I don't know how fast he's going to be, but Ashane is really good. Held up to a big workload.
What's Ashane's first name?
Devon. I think it's pronounced Devon. But he's small. He's small too. He's like 5'10", 185. But he's a track star. I think he might run like a 4.25 at the 40 because that's all he's been training on. He would not have been training for size at all. I think this last month, I think he knows his paycheck is all about how fast he is in the 40.
4.25. That's wait, is 4.23 the record we've seen?
I mean, his line at all these sports books is 4.29, I think.
Jesus. Speedster.
He's crazy fast. He is crazy fast.
So what's the difference between Ashane and Deuce Vaughn? Because they're both speed guys, right?
Vaughn's way better, but he's probably 20% smaller than Devin Ashane, like straight up.
Jesus, okay.
He's like, what you got to see a clip of this guy. He looks like a literal child out there.
Let's, I don't know what I'm allowed to share, but let's pull up the YouTube here. What's
you got to show? You got to show his just bombs.
Deuce Vaughn highlights. Make sure we'll have this music off.
I mean, he just is like.
I love a good hype tape, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, this is a huge part of my process too. Is like, because I want to have some sense of how these guys. I mean, look at him, dude.
He's a little bit inefficient with the elbows flared out, but people don't know, dude. I ran a 4.4 in college.
I mean, this was in the Big 12 championship game, and he's out there just making people. Ooh, miss.
A little wiggle right there.
This
is like souped up Danny Woodhead. He'll play.
Yes. Woodhead is what you want him to be, but he's even smaller than Danny Woodhead. Look at that 90-yard touchdown run against Alabama.
Yeah, but the smallness ain't so bad for a running back because it's like got low center of gravity.
But the big thing you don't think about it is he's so small that he is going to be completely unable to pass block because people are just going to knock him on his ass.
Well, if you can anchor, you can pass block. Like, not so big guys are good pass blockers in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, look, I want this guy to be the next Austin Ekeler. You know, like I love.
Yeah.
I went to K-State. I really like this guy, but I mean, watching these highlights, like you can see just how small he is compared to other players.
He's running through arm tackles though. He's high kneeing it.
I mean, yeah, I bet he's super strong. I bet he can squat like 500 pounds, probably.
Yeah, like the Rondale Moore.
Rondale Moore is actually probably like a pretty good comp in terms of like you're gonna have to use him closer to the line of scrimmage and get him in space, but he can guy can move.
I drafted the shit out of Rondale Moore's rookie year because I saw him squat like 500 or something.
Same. I mean, I drafted not because I saw him squat, but just because I like him. But yeah, this is my Deuce Vaughn is my guy.
Peek at Devin Achane. I want to see this.
His Devin Achane's highlights are pretty nuts. Like, obviously, he has got a lot of inefficient runs because he relies so much on his speed. So the highlights are crazy.
Yeah, if you're like just speed in college, that can be. Oh, he's like Darren McFadden, dude.
I mean, he's way faster than Darren McFadden. Like he ran track at Texas A&M as well. I think he might have even been an Olympic qualifier in something. And he was really good on, yeah, he was the 2020 Texas track and field athlete of the year. So not football, track athlete of the year as a senior in high school.
Marquise Goodwin's still in the NFL, dude, and he's taking like multiple breaks.
Yeah, I mean, he's so like, look at this dude. I mean, he's just running away from everybody.
Yeah, he'll be kick returner minimum, but like, he looks like
these are the type of guys I like to bet on. Just guys who are you know, it's like that old Bill James quote: once you demonstrate a skill, you own it. Like, he demonstrates the skill of just being faster than every other person on the field.
And speed plays in today's NFL, and especially with defenses getting smaller to deal with the pass.
It's true, yeah. And I mean, speed is going to be more important at running back as, you know, safeties are creeping closer and closer to the box too. That two-eye safety stuff.
Good on that route there. All right, let's get back to our spreadsheet. Let's jump on to wide receivers. This is a big one. There not a lot of consistency I'm seeing from people on their wide receiver ranks. I see Jackson Smith mentioned. I see Zay Flowers. I see Jordan Addison. I see Hyatt. How's it go for you?
Yeah, I have been flip-flopping on this. I mean, I want Smith and Jigba to be one, but I mean, so it's like you kind of had to have been watching college football to like get swept up in the Smith and Jigba thing. Cause I think he had four catches this most recent year. Basically, he hurt his hammy and was like, nah, dude, I'm going to go make a couple $1 million playing in the NFL. So it's sort of like in the old NFL, in like the NFL, like 10, 15 years ago, he would have been like a third round pick because slot wide receivers just were not that important. But now creating separation, you know, inside is so important. I think the best comp for him, and this is like a stylistic comp, this is not so much like a just pure in the data, he's like Keenan Allen. Just like he can create
that a little bit.
He can create separation like that.
Is he your one?
No, I got Quentin Johnson one because Quentin Johnston, he's the could be Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins. Like he's the physical marvel who's, you know, crazy 6'4", 215, produced as a freshman, you know, like just so good.
I watched no college ball at all. I watched the playoff games though. And I watched this guy play and I didn't know he was like this big wide receiver prospect. And I was like, damn, he does not get up to speed quickly. Like, it looked awkward to me. I had concerns. And keep in mind, this is 5 seconds of me watching the game.
But that doesn't matter, right? Getting up to speed doesn't really matter.
But why is he unquestionably your one? Just because
I think he's got more of that true high end. This guy could be for at least 1 year of his career could be the number one wide receiver in fantasy football. Then Smith and Jigba, then Jordan Addison, then Josh Downs.
Is there any concern he could be like a Laquon Treadwell?
Sure. There's always that concern.
What are you looking at for the combine to be like, he's my one? What's he got to run?
I mean, he's got to run a 4.4, and I would prefer him to not suck at the three cone too. Like that'll be big. That'll have a huge impact in his comps. Like now,
and the bigger thing than the 4.4, just for people out there, is usually their 10-yard split. That's what, from what I've read, like teams care a lot more about your 10-yard split because it's a lot more indicative of your acceleration and whatnot. You know, like the 40 there with the 10-yard is important, but the 10-yard split being elite, if you look at the RAS profile, is like something that I've just noticed teams target.
Right. So if Johnson is also sort of interesting in that if you don't use draft position, yeah, this is the concern. This is the concern is that he would be and Keel Harry. I think that's a bit much, but it's possible. I just this wide receiver class just doesn't. It's funny, as the NFL is valuing wide receiver more and more, this just kind of happens to be a little bit of a damp bit of a class. So if you use the RotoViz box score scout to generate comps and you give him no draft position, so you just don't even input draft position as a variable, all bust, right? 100% bust, no guys who are, it's right, semi-Cobbs type vibes. But if you give him a top 10, top 15 draft position, it's Odell Beckham, Justin Jefferson, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Sammy Watkins, Julio Jones. Like, and there are some busts in there too, like Jalen Reagor and Corey Coleman.
So basically, if an NFL team convinces themselves he's a top 15 type, we roll the dice. If he doesn't, like if he's,
I mean, if this dude falls to the second round, like you're so out on him, I think.
Yeah. What about late first? What about if a team like the...
Depends on who it is. The Browns, yeah. You know, if the Browns take him or like an analytics...
I mean, if it's a late first, it's like the Bills or the Chiefs are selecting him because they both need wideout help.
I mean, that, yeah, if he goes to the Bills or the Chiefs, like, shit, I don't know. You know, I took Mecole Hardman.
Justin Blackmon balled. People forget that he balled until...
People forget that technically Justin Blackmon is still on the Jaguars roster.
Dude, he needs to return and bench Calvin Ridley. So okay, Quentin Johnson, and how would he have ranked for you last year amongst that class?
Bad. Well, no. He was so good. He was he played in he only played in 7 games, but he had 40%.
No. Like TCU's. What he did this, like what you know today.
Oh, amongst, he would have been.
Like among Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave.
Bad. Yeah, way worse than those guys.
Okay, where is he?
But what's interesting is had Smith and Jigba declared last year, he wasn't able to. I mean, he would have been above Olave probably. He probably would have been drafted ahead of Olave.
Okay. But basically, no wide receiver in this class feels as much of a lock as past prospects. But I feel like he just seems especially a little bit more risky than...
I think he's got a very wide range of outcomes.
Then like the slot guy, it's like hard for that guy to totally flame. Now, if you're playing underdog at the same time and the guy's not like the alpha slot, like he's not like Amon-Ra type, well, he's not scoring touchdowns for you. So what's he really
doing? Well, I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown is very Keenan Allen-y.
Yeah, but he gets the touchdowns, which is, and he's like the engine of the offense. You know, like it's a big difference being like a
Cole Beasley. Yeah, we'll see. I think we'll see about that when the Lions start trying to be good. I think that'll be pretty interesting to see how Amon-Ra St. Brown's fantasy value changes.
Well, it's not like their offense was the concern; it was their defense.
But I mean, think of the Chargers, though. Think like the Chargers when they try and like. Keenan Allen is important to their offense, but when the Chargers are humming, Keenan Allen is not scoring touchdowns.
When Keenan Allen was out of the roster, the Chargers fucking sucked last year.
Well, the Chargers always suck. That's the thing that people
forget. Yeah, they had a lot of injury things, is what I'm saying. But all right, moving on to 2, is that clearly Jackson for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And he's Keenan Allen type. He feels pretty safe, right?
Rookie sophomore Smith-Schuster, 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, like I mean, some like, and let's just name some nut low landing spots for these guys, the Bears, right?
Oh fuck! If Smith and Jigba goes to the Bears, like it's a wrap, dude. You just are never like
the Bears. The Texans doesn't seem. No,
Texans would be fine. Arizona would be fine. Indianapolis is probably not great. Detroit, not great.
I don't think Seattle's great if it's like a hey.
Seattle is not taking a wide receiver. No chance. Carolina, not good. Atlanta, we'll see. You know, Atlanta, maybe Lamar Jackson.
Dude, Atlanta, Jesus Christ, bro. They need a quarterback.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, but they might get one. They might get one in free agency. In fact, I think they probably will get one in free agency, and they might get a good one.
Carson Wentz might start there.
No. Damn, that would be so brutal.
I mean, we'll see there. All right, the three for you. Who is it?
I got Jalen Hyatt at three, and I think that's pretty controversial because
I've seen it. Speed demon, right?
That's the thing is, like, this guy could just be John Ross. You know, he could legitimately never have a top 50 wide receiver season. Like,
could he be Waddle or what we think Jameson Williams is going to be?
No chance. I mean, he'll never be as good as Jalen Waddle was. Unbelievable. He is so good. Jalen Hyatt is not that good.
Okay, so we're just rolling the dice with the speed guy. Who's four?
Well, really, I think only a really good team would take Jalen Hyatt. I don't think a bad team has any interest in Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, he's like, the Bills are, they need to get someone fucking fast with Josh
Allen. So do the Chiefs. So do the,
Chiefs have fast guys, though. That's the thing. And they have John Ross. They have
fast guys who are shitty at being wide receivers, though.
Yeah, but they have John Ross. They have, who's the guy who hurt his leg and could be crushing
Justin,
for them?
Justin Ross. The Cowboys really need a wide receiver. This guy feels very Jerry Jonesy to me, although Jerry Jones always prefers Big 12 players. The Giants desperately need wide receiving help. I mean, at the end of the year, they were starting all undrafted free agent type guys or guys who were cut by other teams. The Chargers, I think, could really use someone who can move. I don't know how much they like Josh Palmer. Yeah, Chris is 100% correct. I mean, there's a very real chance this guy has an 8-year NFL career but never accumulates a 1,000-yard season because he's just a wind sprinter.
Well, I mean, those wind sprinters still can give you those huge spikes in best ball, which is what you're looking for. Hyatt, best case, something like Will Fuller. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what everyone sees with him. And I love Will Fuller, so I'm with that.
Will Fuller, hopeful. MVS concern. All right. Number four, who we got?
Yeah, this is the one that I am most no one agrees with me on this, but I got Addison here. Everyone else has Addison ahead of Hyatt, basically. Yeah.
But you're not going totally off the board. We're still ranking Addison. And what type of wideout Addison?
I mean, he's Smith and Jigba, but he's 6 feet tall, 180 pounds, 4-star recruit. Played really good at Pittsburgh.
But that's how you're describing, like, Stephon Diggs, Garrett Wilson. Like, some of those guys are, like, elite route runners. Like, is he, you know, like.
I don't think he's as good as Garrett Wilson. Maybe I'm wrong. Addison, he'll be very price sensitive to me. Like,
based
I'll probably
on
have
draft
a lot of
capital, you mean, or what?
No, in best ball. Like, if he is drafted where, like, Drake London was going, I probably won't have as much, but if he's drafted, I don't think he's that good. Maybe
two different comments there. One says Devonta, one says
So Nez must be a longtime listener of my content because I fucking love Blitnikoff winners. There's this guy, this probably would have been before your time really playing fantasy football. There's a guy who went to Oklahoma named DD Westbrook, who's a Blitnikoff winner. He got drafted by the Jaguars.
I know DD Westbrook, dude. We've been playing DFS for around the same time.
I just that guy probably cost more money for me than anything else. Yeah, but I do like a Blitnikoff winner. I mean, my take would be these top four guys are interchangeable to me. I don't really, especially before the combine, I don't have really strong takes about any of them. And I would actually put Josh Downs and Zay Flowers slightly below these four guys, but these four guys to me are the unassailable top four, I believe.
Bit of a gap, and then Downs plus Flowers together.
Yeah, and Flowers, I think Flowers is going to be, he's going to get drafted. Like really fast.
I saw like you see that post where he like added 15 pounds and like smiled.
Yeah,
or something.
he looks super jacked.
But he's not big. He's kind of like Rondale Moore type. But both guys are slot types, right?
I mean, his final year at Boston College, he had 30% of his team's total yards and 46% of his team's total touchdowns, 47% of their total passing game. I mean, that's the kind of shit that I do really like to see, is just a guy completely dominate. But again, this is your fourth year guy. He led the ACC in receiving touchdowns. But
Flowers is fourth year.
Yeah, but he's a fourth year guy, right? He did all that at 22. He's even going to be, I think, 23 when the season starts. So that's a legit concern. Yeah.
What about Downs? Anything you want to say?
I mean, so Downs is a hard guy to evaluate because he plays in that crazy North Carolina offense. But I mean, his fucking numbers are nuts. He four games as a rookie, three touchdowns, full season in 2021, 36% of North Carolina's passing offense, 11 games as a senior or a junior, 34% of their passing offense. But he's 175, 180 pounds, kind of difficult. He's a big field stretcher. So honestly, not that dissimilar to Hyatt. Like if Downs ended up being better than Hyatt, I could see it. I just think Hyatt had, I think it was 8 receptions, 220 yards, and 4 touchdowns against Bama. And like, that's the type of shit. I just eat that shit up.
Yeah, I hear it. Preston, just to touch this question, did Liam tell us his rankings? This is why we're doing this, Preston. I do not watch college football. The NFL draft is kind of when I get red-pilled on all the rookies usually, because I watch the whole draft. So I watch the hype tapes and whatnot. But I'm a consumer of content, so going to have people on that do think they know this shit, and then I kind of make my decisions as I go like that. But I'm definitely not like these are the guys you need to know. But when I hear people I trust their opinions of, like talk about Jamar Chase as like a generational prospect, that's when I have the ability to like tune out the noise and be like, I'm hammering this guy. I don't give a fuck if he dropped a pass in practice. All right, tight end. I've heard a lot of good things about this tight end class. People are saying,
yeah, it's like the best tight end class in 10 years.
I mean, that's what I'm hearing. How's it go for you? And I will say this on tight end, guys, is shout out Kentley Platt. He does the Raz profiles. If they do not have a good Raz, they will not be a good fantasy tight end.
But they also won't get drafted. Like if a tight end well, who had a push.
No, but some teams draft these tight ends to be like left tackle adjacents.
Yeah, but you're going to know that before you're going to know that based on how they did, you know?
Yeah. But basically, so, yeah, like at least like a Raz of like, and just look this up. Go on Twitter, look up the Raz of all the tight ends you think of. They're all like Dalton Schultz is probably the worst one. But
you love Dalton Schultz though.
No, but he probably has the worst Raz is what I'm saying. Of the good.
That was your boy. He was a good fourth round pick.
He was my boy, and I believe he balled out week 17.
I think he scored twice.
Yeah.
Week 17. So,
sometimes yeah. You just know, David. Sometimes you just know those
sometimes
weeks.
I've had so many
players like that who like failed the season and then went off week 17.
And that's why you take Dawson Knox, dude.
Yeah. Hey, Dawson Knox also was a playoff hero. I wouldn't hate the Bills to do like some two tight end shit with Josh Allen. Anyways, how's it go for you?
I mean, Michael Meyer is the first one for sure. He is far and away
the star of the Halloween movies.
Yeah, the Notre Dame tight end, bro.
All right, Michael Meyer. How's he comp? Anyone he comps to you?
I mean, he's probably like Ertz. Hockenson type guy. I mean, he had 180.
Dude, Hockenson. I was like done with Hockenson. I was all in Hockenson 2 years ago. Then I was done last year. Now he's on the Vikings, and I'm way back in.
You're all the way back in.
Yes. I mean, dude, the guy was like averaging like 18 PPR points or something in that stretch at tight end. That's pretty.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Especially if the Vikings add a legit two, that's concerning. But if it's like the corpse of Adam Thielen, Jefferson, Hockenson, and their running backs are aging, it's like, oh, wheels up.
Yeah, I can see that.
Ertz, Hockenson plus, should we say, or no?
I mean, Zach Ertz is a Hall of Famer, so I'm not going to say Zach Ertz plus.
Okay. Zach Ertz still in the NFL, by the way. I'm not clicking that button, but dude's got to retire.
Wait, is he? No, he's not.
Dude, he's like draft. People are drafting him in the big board.
Yeah, but he's not going to play. That's insane.
I think he's got to be done, but who knows?
He tore his ACL.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the Ertz Hall of Fame. But
what's Zach Ertz is a Super Bowl champion. And he has,
just like Sony Michel,
he's got 7,300 career yards, 45. No, he's probably not a Hall of Famer.
No.
Let's check his, let's on Pro Football Reference, his Hall of Fame monitor. Yeah, no, he's not even close. Okay, I lied.
Okay. Number two for you.
So number two, you'll hear some people have Dalton Kincaid. Some people have Darnell Washington from Georgia. I like this Luke Musgrave guy from Oregon State because he's huge, 6'6", 250. And I bet he is going to be the RAS guy. He's going to be the guy who's got like the insane spark, the crazy.
Who's the guy
vert
on the Colts who was the RAS king?
Jelani Woods.
Yeah, Jelani Woods. Yeah. It was either Musgrave or who's the other guy you said from
Darnell Washington.
Yeah, like I thought I read some things that some people were concerned that they're like so athletic that people are going to be like, you're a tackle or something like that.
I mean, I like both of those guys, Washington and Musgrave, are like insanely athletic.
Okay. But Luke Musgrave, we're rolling with the Raz King. Number three.
Number three is Dalton Kincaid, who was just like crazy productive. 70 receptions, 890 yards, 8 touchdowns in 2022, his most recent year. Like, that's really high for a tight end. Like, just that sort of sustained production is very hard for tight ends to get when they're not at a what am I trying to say? When they're not at like an air raid school, when they're not at like Texas Tech or Washington State.
This is truly down bad behavior. The Boomers are drafting Ertz in the 12th round on FFBC.
Touchdown, I mean, guys. These people have got to be saved from themselves. That is not okay. That is,
it's especially egregious this year, where to me it's pretty clear at tight end. Either you grab one of the guys at the top, or you like gamble in the mid rounds on like a Darren Waller, Dawson Knox, those types of guys. Or you wait, where you can take one of infinity names, including all the rookies. You can take tight ends of years past, like Noah Fant, like the old Bengals tight end. What's his name? You can take like any of those names. But do not grab Ertz in the 12th, in my opinion. But situation does matter. You know, like that's why I was in on Trey McBride, because I knew Cliff likes to feature the tight end.
And okay, McBride, this is, by the way, this is
250K.
Do you want me to read what Laird said about the rugby stuff?
Sure.
I think it's a high risk, high reward idea. Most people conclude the risk outweighs the reward. The biggest limitation is practice schedule. You'd have to have daily individual drill time that would take time away from other stuff. Hardest part is constant roster changes in the NFL. So you have to teach it and practice it with basically new players every single week because guys are getting hurt and coming in.
But you only need your wide receivers to be practicing this, or whoever is catching the passes down the field. Because your O-linemen are not.
Think of how much wide receivers change over the course of 17 games. Just even think about the Bills. Think about guys coming in, out. Cole Beasley's in there. Then John Brown's in there. And it's
not in the rugby style offense. You're fired. Like,
so Reggie Gilliam is in 1 week and then Tommy Sweeney's in the next week or whatever, but then Tommy Sweeney gets hurt, so you have to sign whoever, you know, you got to sign Tyler Eifert.
I don't know, the high risk I think talks to that, like a bad team should try it, but Again, I don't think it would be allowed. All right, let's finish out tight ends here. Who's your four?
Darnell Washington, the Georgia guy. What's funny is that there's a tight end from Georgia who's going to be like a top five pick next year, Brock Bowers, and Washington played behind him. He really didn't catch the ball all that much. Basically, just the idea is this guy is going to be Jelani Woods. Yeah, that's really it.
Okay, and five?
And there are a couple of different guys you could put here. You could put this dude from Iowa, Sam Laporta. He's like another guy who can kind of catch and move and kind of has soft hands. Cade Stover would be, you know, the blocker, the Jake Ferguson, Dalton Schultz style guy.
We don't want that. If there's only four rookie tight ends to consider, that's fine.
Yeah. So I like this shit. I can't even remember. I gotta go find this guy's name. Give me a second, because he is really good. So he was Dalton Kincaid's teammate. He was the other tight end. Thomas Yasmin, 6'5", 260. He had 13 receptions his final season, only 14 receptions in college. How many touchdowns do you think on 13 receptions?
Six. Absurd.
He just, but like even more than that, like you go watch these touchdowns and this is not like Zach Ertz standing in the back of the end zone, catching it and sitting down. It's like this dude just stiff armed a linebacker and hurdled a safety and too small, another defensive back chasing him. Like he's nuts.
I mean, something to be said though, about like performance in college and just tight end in general is like, it's QB specific. Like some QBs like the tight end. Like we've seen that with Cousins kind of over his career. We've seen that with Wentz sometimes, right? But and some are not. So anyways, what's your gut on some of these tight ends? Are any of them actually going to be guys you want to be targeting, or are you of the mindset that tight end's still a hard position? I mean,
Meyer will be a top 15 ADP guy most of the summer.
All right. All right, Davis, anything else you want to say on rookies or players you are interested in how they do on the combine most that you didn't mention before we get out of here today?
I mean, I do really want to see what this fucking Yasmin guy runs because he looks absolutely insane. I mean, I'm really interested because wide receiver is so, they're just, it's like, you know, we mentioned the COVID stuff. It just makes it all go up in the air more. I mean, we got Marvin Mims, Parker Washington, this guy, Andre Isovas. He was a wide receiver at Princeton. He was
That's an NFL name right there.
He was a track guy. He set, so I, someone said I quoted this wrong. But in his NFL Draft Network profile, it quotes that he set the NCAA record for heptathlon, which seems insane for a football player.
That's like a long distance type shit, isn't it?
How the fuck do I know? I don't know shit about track and field, but basically he's just a sick freak athlete. So who knows? Who knows? But he could be the next Jeff Janis type. So I'm pretty interested in him. I really like Tyler Scott. So it's just, it's like, these are, a lot of this stuff is very preliminary and I'm trying not to anchor anything too much right now because
yeah, it's hard when you,
well, cause if you start to anchor here, you could be so fucking wrong 2 months from now. Right. Which is why I'm like, if Quentin Johnson goes after Smith and Jigba and after Hyatt and after Addison, like I'm going to let that take die so fast because the NFL is telling me I'm already wrong.
Unless it goes to like a team like the Bears or something where we're, you know, like if Justin Fields is still going to get his on the ground, it's just hard for wide receivers to be big fantasy assets.
I mean, for like dynasty, that stuff kind of comes out in the wash, but for fantasy, yeah, I agree.
Again, we're trying to talk about shit that makes money, best ball, not financial advice, but
I mean, dude, like when you win a $50 dynasty league, though, it is such a good feeling. Let me tell you.
Hell yeah. Well, Davis, thanks so much. I'm assuming wide receivers you're more interested in seeing for the combine than running backs, or is it running backs?
Well, so what's sort of interesting is that the wide receiver stuff is really important, but you could almost guess based off what the running backs do at the combine, what order they're going to go in at the draft, which is sort of like, that's sort of useful for like, you know, planning what you're doing. And, you know, the other thing is they fucking changed the way they did these drills. So they used to do, you do the bench press on Thursday, you'd run.
Didn't they change the track too? So like the speeds aren't like that comparable.
Well, oh shit. Do you remember this last year? Do you remember the gun was really hot last year?
Yeah.
Remember,
like everyone now was... all of a sudden, like this historical research is like not so.
So I wonder if they go the opposite way this year, they do something to it. And it's like, oh shit, all these guys ran real slow. You know, oh, Devin Ashane ran a 4.38 and Quentin Johnson ran a 4.6 and yada, yada. And then you're going to hear, oh, well, actually, our NFL scouts, they're hand-timed it, and they're way faster or whatever.
Well, we'll have to see with that. Gonna have on Pat Corain tomorrow at 1 to get his, 1 Eastern, to get his rookie take. So we'll see how those compare to Davis's. And then probably have both of you guys on sometime after Combine to see where we've changed, see if we can mind meld a top 5 together. Check out Davis. Davis's Twitter is linked in the thing below. He's got several podcasts he runs that you can check out his link tree for. Speaking of, I was minding my business one day, driving along, figured, hey, why don't I throw on my good friend Davis's podcast, the Take Cast with Brian, another good friend of mine. And what do you know? Catching strays about my thumbnails on there, where Davis is like, Davis is like, yeah, I used to do YouTube, but my thumbnails kind of sucked like Liam's. Pause. What?
They get better. The one you did for this is better. You're getting there. Here's the thing.
No,
you've
true.
Won at least 1.3 million recordable dollars via Best Ball. Why don't you go to Fiverr.com and get someone to make thumbnails for you?
I probably should, but you know, A, lazy. B, we're trying to become more committed with our schedule, and by that I mean me. So I can, you know, because I was like kind of flying by the seat of my pants, like, oh, I'll do a video here, do a video there.
Sure.
But we're gonna do that. We're gonna buckle down. We got on the Canva lab. Guys, if you could hit the like button and subscribe, really helps me out. Check out tomorrow's video at 1. See you all then. Peace out, everybody.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.